Got a legal issue? Call Perth Live right now. 922-11-882. For the law, according to Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group. You better get a lawyer,
son. You better get a... It is 23 minutes to 4 o'clock. If you would like to put a question to Simon Creek, the number to call 922-11-882. Hello, Simon.
How are you, Ollie?
I'm very well. Good to see you. Long time no speak.
Indeed.
It's been almost 24 hours.
Too long.
Were talking to us, of course, yesterday, and there's plenty of legal issues swimming around at the moment, and as there are on a daily basis, because the courts are always very busy.
The courts, the government, and then random individuals. Yep, no shortage of fun.
All right, let's go straight to the open line. Hello, Brett.
Yeah, hi. Just had a question. If you've got an ongoing dispute with a company, no legal proceedings have started yet, and that company gets swallowed up by like a national player, does that can you still take legal action against the new entity?
Yes and no. Your action may still be against the former company because it's not as if they disappear from existence. Look, really complex question, to be frank, and the contract that you might be arguing over or the relationship generally needs close examination in order to give you advice as to how to proceed. Short answer, though, is you can't just get rid of your liabilities as a company by selling out to someone else.
Okay.
All right, Brett.
Thanks.
No worries, Brett. Thank you very much. Now, Simon Creek, the last week or so, we've seen Ben Cousins go to jail. This is in regards to a violence restraining order, and we probably can get into some of those details, but we obviously have to be a bit careful what we do and don't say.
Indeed.
But I guess, moreover, the use of a violence restraining order. Now, you have published a comment piece today on WA Today, which I think is a really good explainer, because VROs are obviously there as a tool to protect people, and they're not there to be used when somebody wants to or somebody doesn't want to. So explain the violence restraining order process, and obviously people do take these extreme measures because they need to.
They
have to be adhered to, I would imagine, in its entirety, and you can't use it to your advantage when or when you don't want to.
You're certainly not meant to. Let's start by looking at a spectrum. At one end, you've got the VRO purely being used as a tool for protection.
Mm-hmm.
At the other end of the spectrum, you've got some loopholes in the legislation which enable VROs, in practice, whether we like it or not, to be used as leverage or as a tool for the wrong type of thing on an ongoing basis. The aim is to hit the middle. The aim is to, at all times, remember the intent of the legislation and to remember the need for people to be protected at various times and in various situations. The Cousins case raises, I think, questions that are very useful in explaining how they actually work in operation.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the one hand, yes, he clearly had done the wrong thing. He's obviously intimidated and, I guess, otherwise harassed his former partner. And the need was there for a VRO. On the other hand, though, it's pretty clear. Look, I'm not going to vouch for another publication's investigations, but as reported, Cousins' former partner did at various times invite him over, invited him to a concert with her, and in other words, chose to put the VRO aside for her convenience. Now, in cases where that happens, if it indeed happened here, and it's, I can tell you it certainly happens in other cases,
mm-hmm.
one has to ask, is that fair? Is it just? Because the guys that then go, and it is usually the guys that then go, oh, okay, I've been let off, I've been excused for a day or whatever it might be, they act on that and they genuinely tend to believe they're not doing the wrong thing by breaching the VRO. So you can imagine their surprise when they're arrested the next morning.
Because technically under the law, they are breaching their VRO.
That's right.
And of course, circumstances in relationships would change at various periods and somebody may think, I no longer require this VRO. So in that circumstance, should you then be reviewing it, and what do you do to go about that?
You should not be doing anything that would look like a breach until your ex or whoever else it might be that's currently protected by the VRO goes to court and effectively works with you to discharge the order. The context for my concern is also pending changes to the Act. The McGowan government has effectively until 1 July to review changes that were approved by the Barnett government, which take away, effectively, a magistrate's discretion in terms of factoring in an invitation to breach. And that will mean that you, but effectively, if there's a breach per se, there's no way of excusing it. So you could literally have an order made one day and the protected party saying, oh, look, I made a mistake the next day. You just take his or her word at it, you rely on that, you spend, you know, the next few weeks around there, and then end up being arrested, and there's nothing anyone can do to factor in as a mitigating factor the invitation and the acquiescence. That's all just dismissed. You are in trouble.
Okay. That hopefully assists in some way to explain some of that, Simon Creek, because it is quite a complicated minefield, really, and we are seeing, you know, obviously you are seeing, particularly in family law, plenty of VROs that are entered into because of particular circumstances.
That's right, and the final comment I'll make on that, I suppose, is that I hate seeing it more than anything when it's being used as leverage in a child custody case. That's really inappropriate. I'll cop some flack for that comment from members of the profession. I really don't care. The fact of the matter is VROs are there for protection in genuine cases. They're not there to sort of improve your scorecard in family court proceedings.
And is it becoming commonplace?
I'd say for my entire career, that has been an issue.
Right. Okay. 9221882, if you would like to put a question to Simon Creek this afternoon from HHG Legal Group. Like Phil. Hello, Phil.
G'day, mate. Hey, just a quick question. About 4 years ago, I had solar panels installed into on my roof. And about the first year, it was going great. Next week, we started getting leaks in it and water coming in through the ceiling. And we could never find where it was. We put out our gutters, so we changed them. And last year, when we had the heavy storms, the water was flooding in, so I got a roofing guy to come in. And he found it was a tile what the installers had broken, the guys installing the solar unit, and they had only siliconed it up pretty poorly. Now, since then, I've been onto the company, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll fix it. But I've been basically been getting lip service, and that's it for the last 8 months.
This is a common string along. We see this sort of thing every day. Part of my firm deals with construction litigation, and unfortunately stories like this, look, they're all too common. You need to call the bluff and, if necessary, commence proceedings. This is, you know, depending on the amount of damage involved. Obviously, if it doesn't add up to enough to justify the cost of legal fees, but you'll be given blunt advice about that by any good lawyer. But you can't let them get away with this sort of thing. The old string along happens all the while.
Okay, no worries. Thank you.
And Simon Creek, in the you know, layman's terms, does a strongly worded legal letter sometimes get the ball rolling and there's a resolution?
Look, anecdotally, about 50% of the time, it really does. So obviously when I say this gentleman needed to litigate, that would include a letter warning the other side that that was about to happen. And you never know, it might fix it.
Okay. All right, thank you. Hello, Eileen.
Hello. Simon, what do we have to do to actually force a person to actually remove the VRO that they have placed on somebody? And because they have actually moved back into their house and we can't get rid of them.
Okay, I've missed some of those words, I think. Were you asking what is the cost of having a VRO discharged or removed after it's already been made?
Yes, what do we do to get it into action?
Okay, has the party protected agreed that the VRO be discharged, or do they still want it?
No, they're the ones that have moved back in, and we just can't get rid of them.
Okay, so the person who is currently... there's a VRO against a particular individual and this individual has now returned to the home and is refusing to leave. Is that what you're saying, Eileen?
That's right. The female who took out the VRO has moved back in with the male who we've already had to get him out of run arrest and he wasn't even at the house. They went to shift somebody else, but they took him away because of the VRO. We actually got that dealt with in the court. But she's back again now, and we just cannot get rid of her.
Well, look, if it's the gentleman's house and she's an unwanted visitor, a trespasser, then that's simply a question of calling the police and having her removed.
Yeah, but he feels sorry for her.
Yeah, I knew you were about to say that. I was waiting for it. Mm. This is where, unfortunately, people have to toughen up. I hate to be blunt, but they have to toughen up and realise that on the one hand there's being too nice, and on the other hand there's a potential jail term.
Well, we've already told him that, and it was only lucky that I knew somebody else, and when he was in the court, because he just doesn't stay up. Yeah, he was quite prepared to wear what was happening. But I jumped up and said, you know, that's not right.
Well, Eileen, my advice there, well, my comment there would be, you can lead people to water, you cannot make them drink. If he's not going to follow good common sense advice, I'm not quite sure what you can do about it.
Get her arrested.
All right, Eileen, thank you very much. 9221882. If you'd like to pose a question to Simon Creek, he's here from HHG Legal Group. Until 4 o'clock, it is 12 minutes to 4.
6PR Perth traffic.
Stirling Highway is currently closed in both directions from Tideman Road to Canning Highway in North Fremantle due to a police incident. Riverside Road is also closed in both directions underneath Stirling Bridge. It's heavily congested in the area with Stirling Highway, Canning Highway and Queen Victoria Street all very heavy at the moment, so avoid the area this afternoon. And there's also been a crash on Mandra Road westbound at Old Coast Road in Erskine. The traffic there is very heavy on approach. It's back to Mariners Cove Drive, so avoid the area there as well this afternoon. That's the latest 6PR traffic. Get more thrill in every AFL game this footy season with live betting at your local TAB or call 1300-BET-LIVE. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. And it's Rob. If you see any traffic problems, call 6PR 922 11 882.
Unhappy and frustrated at the time and effort it takes to arrange finance through your current bank? You need PTR Finance, the equipment finance specialists. With a vast network of lenders and over 20 years experience specialising in transport, earthmoving and mining industries, PTR takes the time to understand your business in order to help you find the most competitive finance solution. Whether you want to upgrade your truck or buy an additional excavator, give Peter Reeves of PTR Finance Group a call or visit ptrfinance.com.au. ACL 391489.
Doors Plus, take the fuss out of buying new doors. We offer a free on-site measure and quote, and we install. And now, save up to 50% on selected packages. The Doors Plus sale is now on. Hurry into your nearest showroom. Doors Plus,
no fuss.
Tonight in Nine News, power, water, public transport, all on the way up. The bottom line on a budget hits, how much it will cost you. Perth smothered by fog and smoke, see how it impacted the city. And Bob Hawke puts his name to a new beer. Nine News at 6.
Carl Langdon here. Love fishing? Want to hone your fishing skills? Learn from the best at Golden Ponds, fishing classes with pro fisherman Peter Golding. Master casting, lures, bait and more. Runs weekends in April. Book at goldenponds.com.au.
Absolute Caravan Care can help with absolutely all your caravan accessories, servicing, solar and insurance work. Visit the Belcata showroom or absolutecaravancare.com.
Hi, Sue. Finished your walk early?
Oh, again, I never seem to feel up to it these days.
Maybe you're just not getting enough nutrition.
I haven't been eating too well lately.
Oh, why don't you try Sustagen Hospital Formula? It's got all the vitamins and minerals you get in a supplement, and importantly, it's high in protein too.
Protein?
For strength and mobility.
To help me stay strong and active.
And get back to being you. Now, you coming?
I think I'd better go and get some Sustagen Hospital Formula first.
Formulated meal replacement and not to be used as a total diet replacement. Available at pharmacy.
On 882 6PR, this is Perth Live with Oliver Peterson.
And Rob Fletcher, who is very, very well known, of course, to 6PR listeners, you have a question.
I do. This morning, I had a very distressing situation happen here in the workplace that has actually caused me a great deal of pain. And I think it's actually caused damage to my ears as well. And I'm just wondering whether or not I might need to sort of look at some sort of legal action.
This sounds serious.
Well, the morning program came to me and said that they wanted a promo made, and this is what they asked me to make.
I'm Gareth Parker from the morning program, and yes, Barnsley's having a baby. Lisa Barnes is about to go on maternity leave.
Yeah, that's enough, Chris. Sorry, you're actually causing me a great deal of pain there. The use of Justin Bieber in the music has actually caused me a huge amount of distress.
I'm actually
thinking about going home now because I've had enough.
I nearly passed out. Look, this is high court litigation, and I think Gareth's got to go.
You've been warned, Parker.
Okay, right. Well, I'll get you to represent me, and Gareth, let's bring it on.
Very good. Thank you, Rob Fletcher. Let's head back to the open line. Stuart's on the phone. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, Simon. How are you going?
Very well.
That's good. What it is, I'm currently going through the family court system. The other parties were appointed legal aid and everything, and then they've stopped representing after an expert witness got involved. Now, I was just wondering, because it looks like it's going to go to trial because it's costing the other party nothing, is there any way that I can claim some costs from the other party?
5 o'clock last night, I had this exact conversation with part of my family law team because we've recently finished a trial and there's just no prospects of a success by the other side. But the other party was self-represented and they'd run it to have their day in court, and they've had their day in court. Unfortunately, mate, unless there is enough money in the pool of assets to warrant a costs order, unless the other party actually has a decent income and is likely to have the means to pay a costs order from income, then these are the sad and quite unjust cases where I think the system fails and you end up with a win eventually after cost to yourself and stress and all the rest of it. But it's a shallow win because really the result is what you always thought it would be and should be. And there's no cost order to compensate you. This is a family court peculiarity, I have to say. This rarely ever happens in the Supreme Court, District Court. In the family court, though, we have different rules when it comes to cost orders. And I suppose those rules have a good intention, i.e. we're arguing over the breakdown of relationships and children, therefore cost orders might be too firm a stick at times or too big a stick. But you are describing the exact scenario that I think is unjust, and I think something should be done about it because there needs to be a deterrent for vexatious litigation.
All right, Stuart, hopefully that helps. John's on the line. Hello, John.
Simon.
Hello.
Hello, Oliver, is it?
Hello, John, yes.
My mother died on the 20th of the 1st, 2017. I went and seen a barrister for probate, and I gave him all the details on the 6th of the 2nd, and he still hasn't done the paperwork on it.
All right. Common complaint, this one, and I'll give you a really objective answer. I have a probate team, and I'll just simply tell you the expectations that I've set them in terms of receipt or applying for the grant of probate and then moving on to administering the estate. The time frame, unless there are extraordinary reasons and all the rest of it, for lodging the application should be no more than 2 weeks after you've given all the instructions. After that, it is out of the solicitor's hand because it's with the probate registry of the Supreme Court and they often have a backlog. But the solicitor themselves should have immediately acted on your instructions, lodged all the necessary paperwork. That's assuming that you've provided everything they need. And I think 2 weeks from you meeting them is plenty long enough if you have done.
Yeah, but he keeps on saying, oh, I'm busy and I've got to go to court.
No excuse. I'm sorry. The bar is higher than that for good quality solicitors, and I'm not going to make excuses.
All right, John, thank you. Russell is in Queens Rocks. Hello, Russell.
Yeah, morning. How are you going?
Very well.
Mate, I just want to have a bit of a chat. I attended a court hearing couple of Thursdays ago, which over an MRO, which was over a neighbourhood dispute with a retaining wall. I received all my money back from the court hearing, and just want to ask a couple of questions in relation to what the magistrate actually, on his final statement, was that the neighbour has actually been filming us on regular occasions, and he actually was filming us quite heavily in the car while driving. The magistrate said that was quite illegal to do that. It was actually a finable offence. I'm just curious about what steps I can take to kind of pursue that kind of action, just to kind of not teach him a lesson, but you know what I mean? He has been doing the wrong thing. By filming my partner and my kids. Just want to try and get some advice from you.
All right, there's a raft of legal issues there, some of which I'm across and some of which I'm not. The reality is that at the moment privacy laws are quite slack or almost non-existent when it comes to taking photographs of other people, except if you are doing it ongoing and as harassment, and that sounds like what you're saying. Are you saying that you applied for the MRO, the Misconduct Restraining Order, and you were successful?
No, I did not apply for it. They applied for it. I didn't even have to go up and say anything. The magistrate saw it as vexatious, and we didn't even have to go through with it.
Okay, so it was dismissed. Okay,
yeah.
So he's applied, it was dismissed, and you're back to square one effectively as warring neighbours. But the photographing is continuing. Look, I think what you need to do there is see a solicitor and get some advice on privacy and also harassment. And actually, it sounds to me, look, like you might be the one who's got the case for the MRO. Just bear in mind that the whole photography thing is so out of date that even drones flying above your swimming pool, there's not really a law against them. But get some legal advice and see how you go.
All right, very quickly, one last question from David. Hello, David.
Yeah, how are you going?
Very well.
That's good. I just want to know whether you know the process of action to take. My father-in-law, who lives in Malaysia, he had a bank account in Australia, and he closed it, and a bank check was given by NAB Bank, if I'm allowed to say that. I've said it anyway, but he can't bank it. He can't bank it over there because he has no account. Over there, his wife has accounts over there, and he only can't fly back here to get his money, and he just wants the bank to transfer the contents of that bank check to his daughter.
Yeah, short answer there. He needs some advice on dealing with the bank, because bank checks are not the only way to close accounts. They can do a direct deposit.
All right, there you go. Thank you very much, Simon Creek. We'll see you again in a fortnight.
Look forward.